Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 5th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA has released its latest census on agriculture. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports on the number of corn acres farmers might sow this season and the impact of weather. And the folk from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's go ahead and see how futures finished the day on this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter May wheat settled at 8.38¾, up 7. July, 8.32, up 10¼. Soft May wheat settled at 7.21¼, up 13½. In July, 7.29, up 13. May corn, the settlement there, 5.03¼, up 9¼. July, 5.08, up 8½. And December corn settled at $5, up 6. May soybeans settled 14.72, down 8¾. July, 14.63¼, down 7½. And November soybeans settled at 12.27½. They were up 5. May soybean meal settled at 489.10, down 2.10. May soybean oil settled at 40.98, down 31 cents. And here are some last trades on the livestock side. June live cattle, 137.82½, down 22½. May feeders, 182.67½, down 82½. And May lean hogs, 116.45, down 77½. And those are Monday's settlements.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says planting should accelerate across the Midwest through Wednesday before a week of wetter weather begins Wednesday evening. The lower Midwest will see little significant rain through Wednesday afternoon. Rain will begin in central and northern parts of the western Corn Belt Tuesday, while southern parts of the western Corn Belt see mostly dry and favorable conditions for field work until Wednesday. Little significant rain will fall on the eastern Corn Belt until Thursday evening. Then regular rounds of showers will occur until next Wednesday, May 14th. An important period of drier weather is advertised for May 15th through the 19th, and warmer and drier weather will need to continue to allow for the soil in the upper Midwest to warm and firm up. High temperatures through Wednesday in the north will be in the middle 50s through the 60s, with some lower 70s. Highs in the south Tuesday will vary from the 60s through the lower 80s, with some middle 70s from southwestern to south central areas. Wednesday highs in the south will be in the upper 70s to the middle 80s, with some upper 80s in the southwest and some lower 70s in the east. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It feels like not a lot has happened in the marketplace today from the time that we spoke with you this morning. Just seems like futures sort of spun the wheels on the balance of the day.
Well, corn moved a little higher, and beans, old beans a little lower, and new beans a little higher from reverse visits, and the wheat tried to go up and test the overnight highs. But for the most part, it's kind of locked in, range-bound in through here, waiting for next bit of news to come at us here. This afternoon's planting progress, crop conditions report for the wheat. Might give the market some direction here as we go into the evening trade, but I think the trade kind of dialed into seeing what the monthly WASDE numbers are here at the end of the week to give them a little bit more confidence to take a position.
That report due out in about 47 minutes. You think corn progress will be around 30%?
That's a good question. I think it's further than that. Guys are already into beans already. The trade range was originally around 25 to 27%, and as the day went on, the range went anywhere from 25 to 35%. I think Bloomberg's around 31% completes the nation. There's a chunk that went in. It's just, the reporting system and it gets reported. But we're making headway. We're going to make quite a few open days here towards the end of the week. Weather's excellent, but the idea is, that corn progress should be around 27%, maybe 30%. Beans may 8% complete. So these guys can cover a lot of ground in a hurry. So, we'll see what the numbers are. The trade will look at them then start guessing what the next set of numbers will be.
And I think when we look at those numbers, we should think corn might be, it could be in the 60% or better range.
Yeah, it's much further along than what these numbers are. Guys have made some tremendous headway. Where they're lagging is the southeast there. They got bombarded with moisture there last week. And, of course, the northwest is just, extremely cold. In fact, there was another snow event there in the far north. So it's going to take some time. But if you go back to the March Plains Intentions report, that North Dakota area and Dakotas were going to have a lot more bean acres compared to what they did a year ago.
So what was the feature today, unwinding a spread?
I believe so. That's kind of what we've been watching. It seems that the large trade's been in the spread mode all winter long into the spring. It's quite obvious. Stuff's been moving that in and out that way for quite some time. Old beans down, new beans up, unwinding the bull spread. Liquidation in that spread's had a good run. We're back around this 235 area, see if 230 holds. Obviously, they bought beans, sold corn, bought beans, sold wheat all winter long. And the beans were down, and corn and wheat were both up. So I think the trade's comfortable in the spread position for right now until they get to a position where they want to lean one way or the other in a certain commodity.
Did new longs join the wheat market today?
Well, I have to see what volume and open interest does. I believe so. It's kind of a breakout to the upside, for say. Wheat, it's getting the media attention, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, unrest there, and on into here in the U.S. where, man, it's too wet in the south, too dry in the west, too cold in the north, and we'll see what the crop conditions report shows this afternoon. And ideas are we could see these conditions drop a percent or two. We were basically in this, 30% good to excellent. And when we look at yield potential, we're in the key yield potential zone in through here as we move forward. The drier areas need to, receive some moisture here to get this crop in a position to meet those expectations that the wheat tour projected here last week.
Given the supply of wheat in the world, how much more can the futures here run to the upside?
Well, it's two separate areas, is, you know, as far as world supply, right now that there's ample supply, we'll be trading future supply, of course, as we watch potential here in the Northern Hemisphere. Then thirdly, we've got the commodity funds back into the marketplace, and they're willing to take a position, you know, if there's bullish fundamentals or if the technicals remain bullish, which they are. We should probably have another 50 cents to the upside here if we have everything, all three of those things clicking on at the same time in through here. I wouldn't rule out a move July wheat up towards $8.
Well, then can December corn make another summit at 517 given those figures?
Well, if we can muster, you know, move back above $5 here, this 502 is halfway back up to the high, take out this 505, we're in a position to go up to 525. You know, we'll see what events unfold in here to get that buying volume to come in to get to that level. But the trend's your friend. The trend is up. We're seeing a little bit of consolidation here, so it's healthy for the market to consolidate. We start making new highs. It just opens the door here to sort of grind higher here and continue to climb this wall of worry.
So we unwound the bull spread in the soybeans. Could Friday's WASDE reverse that trend in some way?
Well, we're seeing a correction in the bull spread in the beans. We haven't unwound it completely. I think we're seeing a correction. When you look at the raw fundamentals, this old crop bean picture is still relatively tight. Like we mentioned this morning, in past history, whenever the word import came about, it was bearish. But it appears that beans are much tighter and that the imports are needed to satisfy demand. Crushing margins remain strong. A couple of analysts that's been on your program, and, you know, a very good observation. Meal, you know, meal's kind of hanging in there. Meal's the leader here. And, you know, as long as meal can hold together, the old crop bean prospects price-wise should remain firm.
Anything else before we let you go?
Oh, it's a dynamic market in through here. I believe there's a little bit of everything for everybody here. And one other market to really keep an eye on here to keep grain prices in the upper mode is this livestock market. We need to make sure these livestock guys continue to make some money in through here. Tighter livestock numbers and the cattle and hogs is going to continue to fuel profits on the livestock sector.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA's latest census of agriculture shows that more than 20% of U.S. farmers have operated their farms for fewer than 10 years. And the number of young beginning principal farm operators is up 11.3% since the last census in 2007. But disparity in farm size and income remains. There were 2.1 million U.S. farms in 2012, of which 813,000 comprised 49 or fewer acres. The average farm size was 434 acres, and 1.1 million farms had annual gross sales of farm products of less than $10,000. 87% of farms are operated by families or individuals, and 39% of cropland was rented in 2012. Producers sold $394.6 billion worth of agricultural goods, but it cost them $328.9 billion to bring those products to market. A few more facts. Nearly 70% of farms have internet access, but 10% of those farms still use a dial-up connection. And the top five states for agricultural sales were California, Texas, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Tyson Foods Incorporated said its fiscal second quarter profit more than doubled as higher average prices, especially in beef and pork, buoyed sales. Tyson says today that it expects overall domestic production of meat, which includes chicken, beef, pork, and turkey, to fall by about 1% during the fiscal year, mostly due to smaller hog supplies. For the period ending March 29th, Tyson Foods posted a profit of $213 million, or 60 cents a share, up from $95 million, or 26 cents a share a year ago. Sales of the chicken segment grew 4% to $2.84 billion on stronger demand. Beef volumes slipped as there were fewer live cattle to be processed due to a reduction in export sales. And pork sales grew 13% to $1.49 billion on higher prices. U.S. market regulators are investigating a unit, Mondelez International Incorporated, over trading in wheat futures. Staff of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission are investigating trading in December 2011 wheat contracts by a unit of what was, at the time, Kraft Foods and is now Mondelez. The filing gave no further details of the investigation. Kraft is cooperating with regulators on the matter. French authorities have suspended imports of live pigs and certain pig products from North America and Japan to prevent PED virus from contaminating the food chain there. The Agriculture Ministry said on Friday that no cases of the virus have been recorded in France since the epidemic broke out. The virus has killed millions of pigs in the U.S. over the past year. The French ministry says the ban will remain in effect pending a larger European-wide decision on pig imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The delayed start to the corn planting season has some in the industry wondering about the price of the commodity. Todd Gleason has more on the number of corn acres farmers might sow this season and on the impact of weather.
Farmers are a little worried about the slow start to the growing season in the Corn Belt. It's not exactly late yet, but it will feel like that in another 2 weeks. Some have begun to discuss the idea farmers may swap out corn acres for later planted crops like soybeans. Well, that's not likely for some very good reasons, thinks University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, starting with yield.
The yield penalty for late planting is small over a wide range of planting dates, and then generally becomes steeper as planting dates become later. For major corn-producing states, the yield penalty tends to become steeper for planting dates sometime after mid-May. Some indication of the potential acreage response if planting delays continue this year may be provided by acreage responses in previous years of late planting. The magnitude of late planting is generally defined as the percent of the crop planted after a certain date, as revealed in the USDA's weekly crop progress report. We have defined late planting as occurring after May 30th, before 1986, and after May 20th, since 1986.
Over, roughly speaking, the last two decades, an amount equal to or greater than 20% of the corn has been planted in the United States after May 20th 7 times. Fewer corn acres than expected in the March prospective plantings report were sown in 6 of those 7 years. However, the difference in 5 of those 6 years in the expected number of planted corn acres and the actual figure was, in Darrell Good's words, extremely small. The outlying years are relatively recent.
Acreage was 1.9 million less than March intentions in 2013, and oddly exceeded March intentions by 1.4 million acres in 2009. In general, acreage response to late corn planting since 1996 has been smaller than anticipated, with meaningful differences, but in opposite directions, in only 2 years. In addition to the timeliness of planting, acreage decisions might be influenced by a change in the relationship of the prices of corn and competing crops. That is, more corn acres might be planted after the date for optimum yields if corn prices increase enough relative to other crops to offset the potential yield penalty.
The price of corn, as of the second day of May, had not changed enough in comparison to soybeans to cause a switch. an unchanged price ratio between those two crops after May 20th, says Darrell Good, however, might cause a switch, and it would not be an increase in corn acres.
Without a more favorable corn price response, however, it would not be surprising for acreage to fall short of intentions, particularly in northern growing areas. Yield prospects, on the other hand, will be up in the air until later in the season.
Summer weather has a much larger impact on corn yields than any other single factor. You can read Darrell Good's thoughts on the marketplace each and every Monday on the Farm Doc Daily website. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Amy Sage of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Dave.
So a seasonal in here says when farmers go to the field, you often see the bases firming. Will we see that this year?
We think so. As we get further into the month, but we just haven't seen a ton of that at this point. Nearby, we've seen a little bit of a squeeze on the soybeans, old soybeans, but not as big of a rally in corn as what some have expected. We also had a larger crop than what we anticipated going into the year, and not as much carry as well, so a little bit of support. We think there could be a little bit more, but nothing too exciting, particularly compared to the past 2 years where we've been very tight.
Have the Andersons chewed through most of their corn, or has transportation issues limited how much you would have liked to have gotten rid of by now?
Really, transportation hasn't been a huge issue. It's been more the smaller carry than what we would have liked to seen in the corn market to this point. So we do still have corn to move, and we will be continuing to move that through the summer months going into harvest.
And what about soybeans?
Soybeans, with this inverted market here, we have been shipping those out, so we will be going in empty.
I would think you'd be pretty empty.
Yes.
Bring the brooms in and sweep them out.
That's right.
What are concerns of farmers who are making phone calls to you, if there are any?
Really, in this area, we've been pretty fortunate. Not a ton of concerns. Guys obviously have switched gears to wanting to get their crop in the ground, have made very good progress in this area compared to the rest of the Corn Belt, it seems like. Obviously, guys are looking at these levels on the board and saying that we're looking at some profits here and wanting to maybe lock in their profits but keeping some upside potential, assuming that there could be some issues in other areas with delayed planting progress here.
Are you seeing any issues with mold of those who are delivering at this time of year?
We haven't, actually. Quality hasn't really been an issue for us this year, so that's a plus, too. Cold weather probably helped with that in bin conditions. So
why don't we go ahead and get a sense of what your prices are today, then?
You bet. Cash corn were $4.94 for May, $4.96 for June and July. Fall 2014, $4.75 across the scale. That's 25 under the December. January, $4.93. Cash soybeans today for May are $14.88. June and July, $14.73. Fall 2014, we're at $12.07. That's 20 under the November. January 15 soybeans, $12.18. For cash wheat today, we're at $7.11. And for new crop, June, July, August, we are at $7.19.
Thank you much, Amy.
Thank you, Dave.
Amy Sage of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. And in 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated out of Chicago. It's National Hoagie Day. The hoagie was originally created in Philadelphia on Hog Island, home to a shipyard during World War I. Italian immigrants working there would bring giant sandwiches made with cold cuts, spices, oil, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and peppers for their lunches. By the way, depending where you live, the hoagie goes by lots of names, including the submarine, hero, grinder, dogwood, zeppelin, and poor boy. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Nellie Bly was born. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days.
while I was a U.S. newspaper reporter, and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. Later in life, she took over her husband's dyeing industries and introduced the steel barrel to the distilling process in America. In 1936, a patent was granted for the first bottle with a screw cap to Edward Ravenscroft of Glencoe, Illinois. In 1904, USDA announced it was considering banning importation of horses from France after an investigation determined that a disease outbreak in Iowa was traced to French horse imports. And in 2006, the Agricultural Research Services announced the development of two new machines to improve cotton lint cleaning. The new machines increased bale weight by 8 to 10 pounds by retaining more good fiber than standard lint cleaners. And that's This Day in Agricultural History. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for our look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
So we have this wonderful window, and I'm sure producers everywhere who can plant are planting. How soon does it close, and how long will it close for?
Well, it depends on your location, Dave. Certainly the areas in the western Corn Belt, particularly Nebraska, Iowa, and even up north, Minnesota and in the Dakotas, there will be some rain activity that begins to develop overnight tonight across those areas. Not huge amounts, but certainly some showers and storms firing up on the leading edge of this warm-up that will be taking place across the Corn Belt over the next few days, and some areas have already seen that warm-up here in the southwest. And so for those areas further east, though, in areas of here in Illinois and on into Indiana, Ohio, it looks like mostly dry conditions from now through about Wednesday night into early Thursday, so about, you know, another about 2 days or so, 2 to 3 days out east. For some areas, the window closes here tonight out west, but generally about maybe 2 days or so across those areas as well. So it really depends on location. And once you get into the rain, it looks like there'll be several days of a shower and storm activity.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, once the window closed, say Thursday in the eastern Corn Belt, would we see quite a bit of rain activity between now and, say, the middle of next week?
Yeah, well, kind of adding up everything from now and later on through the end of the week, with the main rains again occurring more so until like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into the weekend, coverage is 80% of the Corn Belt receiving 1 1/4 to 1 1/4 inches with some localized 2 to 3 inch amounts. And the favored areas, at least for the heavier totals, do look to be the southern and the western parts of the Corn Belt.
There are places that still need to see some warmth, and especially the further north you go, how likely will we see the warm temperatures up into Minnesota and such?
Yeah, the warmth up north there will be pretty brief, as basically cooler weather will be filtering back into areas of Minnesota, Dakotas, and even as far north as the Canadian Prairies, and that's the one area or two areas: Canadian Prairies, Northern Plains, far northwestern Midwest. That's the area will be by and large biased on the cool side over the next couple weeks, and as a result, that's the locations where soil temperatures will struggle to reach levels favorable for planting activities.
Let's turn our attention a little bit further to the hard red winter wheat belt. Any relief for Kansas? Any help for Kansas?
We see limited relief, at least in the driest areas of Kansas, particularly the western and central parts of the state. You know, think Wichita and Salina westward to the border. And so we think it's a feast or famine situation. Those areas that have received rains in recent weeks will continue to receive the rains, while those areas that have been very dry will stay on the dry side. And along, again, with the those areas that miss relief, for example, the next few days could be very hot and windy across the plains hard red winter wheat belt, further stressing the wheat crop.
Thank you much, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated, And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.